FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is March 22nd, 2017. Is it the end of Trumpflation? Another bout of the 200-day moving average war. Andrew Hoffman here to discuss. Andy, good morning.
Yes, good morning. The 200, not day, 200-week moving average of gold is about 1250. And as we are talking, it's 1249 and a half right now. So just to give everyone a little background, because obviously, you know, people talk about the 200-day moving average being a strong technical level, less so in rigged markets. But nevertheless, it's, you know, the longer out that you go, the harder it is to rig. And when you talk about a 200-week moving average, now you're talking about, you know, 4 years worth. So it's very, very hard to break those kind of things on the upside or the downside. And frankly, you know, the more that they're manipulated, the more powerful the breaks are when they do occur. Just to give you an idea of when gold and silver first broached to the upside, their 200-week moving averages on when the bull market started. It didn't occur until 2000, I think, three, when they broke above it, and they stayed above it until April of 2013 for 10 years, at which point literally the day of the alternative currencies destruction attacks, which was literally the day after Obama had his closed door meeting with all the top too big to fail bank CEOs. And then the next day, Goldman Sachs put out its aggressive short recommendation on gold, and gold and silver fell like 10% in 2 days, finally breaking down the averages below their 200-week moving averages, where they have been down now for 4 years, almost 3.5 years. The last time that they got back up to it, I kid you not, Kerry, was on Election Day Eve. At the time, they were about 1260 and 1860 or so. And that's exactly where they were the night of the election. And when Trump won, they jumped over those levels. Gold went over 1300 and silver went over 19. And that's when miraculously they turned around. And the whole narrative of that Trump was going to be good for gold and bad for stocks suddenly turned around overnight for some reason. And so we've dealt with this ridiculous Trumpflation meme, which I called out the second that he was elected in my Turning on Trump audio blog. And I said none of the things he ever said he promised he's ever going to do, and that none of those things are going to translate into anything bad for gold and silver. And here we are just 3 weeks ago, and both gold and silver got to exactly their 200-week moving averages, which at the time were about, again, 1260. And for silver, it was 1860. They were both exactly there about 3 weeks ago. And then minutes after the close of trading that day, and I mean minutes after, like at 4:01 Eastern, you had three Fed governors come out. And despite all of the collapse of the hard data that we've seen in the economy, all of a sudden say, yeah, I know you don't think we're going to raise rates, but we're going to raise rates. And that's when the like every time we've had from the December 15 rate hike to the December 16 rate hike, sure enough, the cartel comes in, smashes gold down because they want you to think it's bad for gold, even though it there's no proof of saying that in history, and knocked it down. And the next day was when you had the $2.7 billion silver sale order on the COMEX that knocked it down like 60 cents in a matter of like 10 minutes. And sure enough, we had to deal with this again. And they're still going with the, oh, Trump's going to have his fiscal stimulus and his tax cuts and Obamacare repeal and all this, and everything's going to be great. And guess what? It's all falling apart as we speak. And right now, gold is sitting right back up at its 200-week moving average. Silver's still got a ways to go. It's got about, oh, maybe 75 cents, which it can make up in no time. And the whole meme of Trumpflation is dying. In fact, Kerry, have you even heard the term Trumpflation in the last few weeks in the media?
No, and it looks like Trumpphoria is dying too, I have to say. So I should have sold it when I had the chance.
And exactly, because again, they just create whatever meme works, you know, and the Trumpflation meme, just from a market standpoint, was one of the most ridiculous ones ever. Because when you look at what would happen, what their algorithms were tied to, when they were highlighting, oh, there's going to be Trumpflation. Look, Trump tweeted, Trump had a speech, everything's going to be great. So you have stocks going up, of course, because they are never allowed to go down until yesterday, where they finally went down 1% for the first time in like 6 months. Interest rates would go up, copper would go up in base metals, oil would go up, and of course, gold would go down. You go, so you're saying that you're going to have such a great economy that despite the fact that all these interest rate sensitive businesses are weak to start with and are never respond well to higher interest rates, and we have the debt ceiling and all the debt, that it's going to be great for stocks and great for interest rates and great for base metals and oil. It just didn't even make sense. So here we are. You haven't heard, the reason we haven't heard the term Trumpflation in some time is because that trade doesn't even work anymore. The whole thing with the match of the current. Oh, and the dollar, which the dollar has been getting crushed. The dollar is actually, it's now down to its post-election low as we speak. And this is beside the fact that Europe may implode in the next couple of months. So, yes, interest rates, as I called it back in January 2014 in my 3% enough said. I said rates can never get above 3% the 10-year because the economy will implode. Well, on January 11th, I wrote 2.5% enough said when there was a frenzy, an absolute frenzy of how interest rates are going to go up. And there was all-time high shorts in the treasury bond market, just like there was all-time high longs in the crude oil market when I was saying at that time that oil is going to crash. And guess what? Everyone's been wrong again, and I've been right again. You know why? Because I'm using common sense. They're not talking about Trumpflation now because the dollar is falling, because interest rates are falling, because crude oil is falling, because base metals are falling. And of course, gold and silver are rising. They were still trying to keep the Dow up, but finally, it's starting to fall too. And as my article that everyone should read, which is coming up very shortly, is titled, Is Tomorrow, the 23rd, the End of Trumpflation? And do you know why tomorrow is going to be the end of Trumpflation, Kerry?
Tell me why.
Because tomorrow, the House of Representatives will be voting on the Ryan Care or Trump Care or whatever you want to call the bogus repeal and replace bill that doesn't actually change anything in Obama except the nomenclature of what they deem things. And he doesn't even have enough Republican support to get this thing passed in the House. And then, so now he's desperately meeting with the Congress today and saying, please get this out for me. Please, let's vote for it. But they're not going to, because aside from the fact that this is not really a change at all in Obamacare, it's the fact that people by now, if you don't realize that Trump is not a Republican and the Republicans don't consider him a Republican, that's what's going on. People, it's basically him versus the world. And while the Democrats, you know, have been trying to destroy him from minute one, from within his own party, you're seeing breaks in ranks already. And I think keep in mind that he has said, if we don't have any clarity on this health care bill, we can't even attempt to do anything like fiscal stimulus or rate cuts, which they're not going to be able to do anyway because of all the debt. And oh, yeah, the debt ceiling, which we just put in place the other day. And in a few weeks, they're going to run out of all their extraordinary measures, you know, like borrowing from federal pension plans so that they can buy themselves a few more weeks. They're going to run out of cash. They won't even have an Obamacare bill even that's even debatable at that point. And so everyone's going to realize everything about Trumpflation was a fraud based solely on trying to manipulate markets and push this, you know, and push this dying game, this Ponzi scheme a few inches further.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen then? Where are we heading? What's going to be?
We're heading where we should have been heading all along, and where it's mathematically certain that we have to head, which is going to be a default on the debt, either voluntarily or more likely because of inflation, meaning, you know, the Fed's reckoning day. You know, they played this dangerous little gambit of trying to raise interest rates a few times solely because the market that they were goosing gave them enough, you know, covered to try to pretend that they can get a few rate hikes through. But all they did was get, you know, a couple of rate hikes. They're up to 0.75% or whatever it is. And now it's time to go back down again. You know, look at this. Look at I'm looking at the 10-year treasury yield. It's plunging right now. The dollar is plunging. Oil prices are plunging. And you know, it's going to be clear within, you know, days that there is absolutely nothing to the Trumpflation meme. And therefore, people look at what's going on with the economic data. I mean, this is not just bad. You know, the term retail apocalypse I've been talking about for some time, it's real. I mean, it's all over the news. I mean, chains are shutting down left and right, closing stores, going bankrupt. Now you're going to see, you know, it's going to be a race between the energy sector and the retail sector for which collapses more spectacularly. You know, I just saw this morning, you know, the the home sales are falling, mortgage applications are falling. Housing price index didn't even go up for the first time. I mean, that's why we need dramatically lower interest rates and why the Fed at some point later this year, as soon as you have some kind of crisis, which, hey, perhaps this is the beginning of it, they're going to become rushing in with QE4 and forever end the any hope that the economy has anywhere to go but straight down until everything collapses.
Yeah. And then what?
Well, that's the big question. And, you know, I'm not really concerned about the far future. I'm concerned about the near future, which is why I tell people they need to protect themselves in every way possible. And, you know, my expertise is financial. And that's why I've used physical gold and silver above everything else, because they have proven themselves throughout history to be the best way to protect yourself against these kind of things, be they deflationary, inflationary, political instability, or what we're going to see right now, a historical perfect storm of all of the above.
Yeah. Hey, and let's not forget Bitcoin. It's still holding pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Bitcoin, I just did, everyone should listen to my podcast I did with Bix Weir, was it 2 days ago? And it was comparing basically the risk and reward of precious metals versus mainstream assets versus cryptocurrencies. And the fact is, while everyone knows I'm an extreme believer in cryptocurrency and I do have a position in Bitcoin, they themselves are going through right now a dramatic political civil war regarding the direction of Bitcoin. And that's, you know, this scaling debate, which has been simmering for some time now, is right out in the open, because there are groups within it that want to stay to the current method of protocol, and there are others that are trying to expand the size of the blocks and allow it to be transacted. Well, it's not that, I mean, they wanted to transact faster. Both sides want to transact faster, but this side wants to do it in a more radical way, which may, in fact, split the Bitcoin chain into two. So you have this kind of fear that's seeping into the asset. And as a result, the price has been all over the place. So again, while I believe the future is cryptocurrency, right now it's extremely volatile and uncertain, as opposed to precious metals, which have never been more undervalued, probably in history. When you compare it to the amount of money that's been printed, the amount of inventory that's actually left above ground, the fact that both gold and silver are now experiencing declining production and will for years to come. And of course, that we have record demand in the world right now, even with the decline in demand over here because of the expectations of this Trumpflation bubble, which is just not going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, and I have to tell you, I was talking with Bix also, a very close friend of mine, is friends with a certain person in the Federal Reserve who is responsible for their blockchain initiative, and he's working with other central banks on it. So something major is happening with the world's central banks and cryptocurrencies.
Part of what's going on here is that, you know, many people that I'm reading believe that the Chinese government are a big part of this, you know, coup that's going on, or maybe they're not. But the fact is that there are many governments, particularly the Chinese, that are looking into this technology. And what I was trying to do is separate on that call I did with Bix the difference between the technology and the investments, because right now the investments couldn't be more uncertain in the short term because of all that's going on, whereas the technology is only going to become dramatically more advanced and more used in the future because the fiat currencies are going to all crash and never be used again. And we will never have a gold standard either, because no government would ever be trusted to administer one. It's, you know, it's so funny when people talk about how we're going to go back to a gold standard, not realizing that every gold standard has been abused and destroyed, just like every fiat currency standard, all for the same reasons. I mean, the one we have right now, we have because the fiat standard is because the gold standard was literally just abandoned on the whole world by the Nixon administration on the drop of a dime. And before that, we had a gold standard. And then FDR said, hey, I'm taking all your gold and ending the gold standard today. Yeah. So again, people, I'm telling you, there's not going to be a gold standard ever. There's going to be gold that's going to be increasingly used as a monetary reserve asset, as opposed to now where, well, right now, we don't even know, you know, some governments say they have, but we don't know what they actually have. That's another part of it. You can't audit it. But yes, I mean, when you look up in the future, you're going to see that if you want to be a government that matters in the world, you're going to have a huge amount of gold to show that you have intrinsic value, you know, behind your reserves. But it's not going to be a gold standard like anything we've seen in the past, because no one will ever trust the government to administer it. And governments will be desperate to show people how much gold they have. But no, the future is going to be in cryptocurrency. But that has nothing to do with whether the Bitcoin price goes up or down in the near term. I'm just saying that right now, you want to own gold and silver for the principal reason they've been valuable throughout history, because they are the best store of value that man has ever known. And there is absolutely nothing that has come on to replace it. And maybe one day cryptocurrencies will. And I truly believe when all is settled, there's going to be ways to protect yourself that way. And perhaps when Bitcoin settles its scaling debate, it will go back to being on that path. But right now, from a risk reward standpoint, with all that's going on in the world and what the central banks are about to do, including some central banks like the ECB that may not even exist in the coming years or even months, this is your best bet to protect yourself. And Miles Franklin has been around 28 years. We haven't had a single registered complaint. We probably have the best storage programs imaginable. We have this private storage safety deposit box program in Canada with Brinks that no one else has. I mean, look, just give us a call, 800-822-8080. Email me at ahoffman@milesfranklin.com. Or at the least, just do your due diligence, people. Right now, we are about to see a cataclysm of epic proportions.
Yeah, it's just a question of when, and it's getting closer. There's no question about that. So what do you think? Do you think there's going to be martial law? Do you think chaos? I mean, food riots. What's your take?
Not to get. Well, I try not to think in those terms, because I'm, you know, my expertise is financial. I mean, some things you just can't control. I mean, I wrote an article maybe 5 years ago. Now I'm up to saying 6 years ago when I started.
Isn't that amazing?
Because I've been in Miles Franklin that long. I wrote this article called Protection Continuum, and you can Google it or just go to the Miles Franklin blog and type it in the box. It'll come up. And basically it says, look, for everyone has their own personal level of fear and risk. And, you know, you say to yourself, what is it that I am worried about? What is it that I think is most likely to happen? And from that, and of course, you have your constraints. Like, you can't just get up and move to New Zealand if you have a job or kids to take care of, or, you know, all kinds of this, or the resources, you don't speak language. There's all kinds of reasons why you can do only certain things. And everyone should determine what they think is the risk, the things they need to take care of and do them. Because yes, of course, look, we're seeing civil unrest in many parts of the world, and we're going to see them in a lot more, including some places that have been considered first world. But it doesn't mean it will happen or must happen, and it certainly is not likely to happen everywhere. But you know, you have to prepare for the possibility, because believe me, the one thing I will say about the United States, aside from the fact that we have this historical wealth disparity and there's so many people have absolutely no savings, is the fact that the dollar is still, in fact, even today with this, you know, this drop we've had in recent weeks, it's the most overvalued the dollar has ever been on a purchasing power parity basis with other currencies. So right now, people are living more above where they should be living, where the mathematics of America's finances are, than they ever have. So the fall, even if we fall not to like a Venezuela type level, the fall from the current standard of living to even down somewhere in the middle, let alone below the average, is going to be terribly traumatic and dramatic. And again, we have the most indebted government in the whole world, and not to mention a government that is completely, completely dysfunctional right now, with a population which has never been more polarized. So, I mean, yeah, there's going to be some scary times, and I hope that they're not those worst case scenarios, but I can't discount that it's not possible.
So, in other words, hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
That's always a good thing, a good way to live.
Yeah, it's just a question of preparing for the worst. You know, the future is always uncertain. You just never know what the future is going to bring. It's really hard to prepare.
Yes, but one thing I can tell you to prepare for is the imminent break of gold's and silver's 200-week moving average. Again, we are sitting here right on it as we speak. And as much as the powers that be, you know, they'll try their Hail Mary rallies and all kinds of headlines and trying to, you know, figure out some way to turn things around. I mean, they are losing big. And as, you know, per the title tomorrow of the article I just wrote about tomorrow, I mean, look, there's no way of disguising the fact that the media, the or as they call it, the evil troika of Washington, Wall Street and the mainstream media, they have held their hat on the fact that there's going to be these, you know, huge tax cuts. They don't even care about things like debt ceilings and other things that make them unviable. But the fact is, they've been saying everything is great because we're going to have a repeal and replace of Obamacare. Doesn't matter if it doesn't actually replace anything. We're going to have huge tax cuts. Doesn't matter. That's not economically viable. And we're going to have a huge infrastructure building, even though the size that Trump is proposing is pales in comparison to what China has done for the last 15 years. And meanwhile, China is collapsing, too. But the fact is, after tomorrow, if the Republicans indeed don't even pass this in the House, this Trump care thing, there's nothing left. Because they basically said, we got nothing. We got no tax cuts, no infrastructure spend if we don't even have a healthcare plan. And then, of course, you have the debt ceiling thing going on at the same time. Not to mention, you know, did anyone see the secret polling in France, which is showing Marine Le Pen is now winning, as I said that she would. And I called, you know, I think that election will be a Brexit times 100 if she wins. So, again, lots going to happen in the next couple of weeks. And the odds of it working out well for the bad guys is not very good.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing that we've gotten so close before and never quite gone over, but it looks like now we're actually going to go over the edge or through the envelope.
Well, when you're being pushed and pushed toward the edge, and there's nothing, nowhere left to push back on. I mean, what's the next meme? And look, because you already had the Hillary Clinton is good for stocks and bad for gold meme, and that failed when she was kicked out. Then you had the Trump is good for gold and bad for stocks thing, and now that's dying. So what's left? Are you going to, you know, kick him out? And by the way, I did write yesterday, okay? This will be the last thing we talk about, okay? I don't think Trump's going to make it through 4 years of presidency. I'm not talking about assassination, although I'm sure plenty of people would like that. There are the forces, when I read on a daily basis, the forces within and without the government, both sides of the aisle, who are trying to take him down. It is terrifying. The law, yeah. The rule of law in this country and the rule of civility is dying. And, you know, maybe he doesn't even want to be there at some point because it's so destructive to his family and his personal life, all that's going on. Because I mean, remember how horrible, you know, he was talking about what he had to deal with during the election cycle, all the attacks on him. I mean, look, what has this turned into, Carrie, now? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's complete madness. And I'm beginning to agree with you. How's he going to make it through?
Because once he realizes, look, I mean, this is a 73-year-old man, 74 years old, who's got everything already. And he's
71. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's sacrificed, or 70, sorry, 70?
Yeah. He's 70 years, 70 months, and 7 days when he was inaugurated.
That's right. It's Biden who's 74. Sorry. Right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, look what he sacrificed. I mean, you know, I'm saying nice things here. He sacrificed so much of himself because, yes, part of it was power. He wanted to see if he could be the president. But I think he really thought he could generate change due to the force of his skill set. And it's begun between the attacks on him because he's an outsider from both Republicans and Democrats and the public at large, and realizing very quickly that there's absolutely no way he could change anything. Let alone, I mean, look, plus the way he's going about it, it's terrible. I mean, he just had this meeting with Merkel the other day, wouldn't shake hands. And I don't blame her because you can't insult everyone like that. I mean, the president was the thing I worried most about him. So he's running out of friends, and he's running out of you know, weapons in his arsenal to get anything done. So I have a feeling that he's not going to make it for 4 years. And you know, the thing I fear most is what comes next.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Well, I guess it'll be President Pence.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's destined to be the future either, but it's possible.
Yeah, well, Hillary said President Pence, we want him because he's predictable and beatable, therefore beatable, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole point is at some point this, you know, it's going to really, I mean, look, I don't expect that. I expect with each succeeding presidency, it to become more draconian and more dangerous to the citizenry because, you know, we have a very, very painful contraction from being the top of the pack, as Trump calls it, to somewhere in the middle. And in the process, there's going to be a lot of bankruptcies and a lot of unrest politically, certainly socially. And, you know, and that's while all the same things are going on around the world. That's why I call this the largest, most destructive fiat Ponzi scheme in history. And it's going down.
Yeah, it's going down. And on that note, check out Andy's work over at milesfranklin.com. Sign up for his daily missive and frequent audio blogs. Check us out at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Emails kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com. And the Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Andy, we will catch you the week after next. You're going to be away, so you have a good trip, and we'll talk to you then.
Looking forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.